Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to begin class this morning asking you a Bible question. Are you ready? You probably know the answer to this one. Jesus had gone into Samaria and met the woman there at Jacob's well. Now, the name of that well was the last question we had asked. What was the name of that well? Well, there was in that well water, and Jesus was there, and he was thirsty. And he asked that Samaritan woman to draw him some water to drink. Now, she was surprised that he had even spoke to her, being a Samaritan. And he said, "Why are you asking me, a Samaritan woman, to draw water for you, you being a Jew?" And the Jews and Samaritans, they wouldn't talk with one another. And also the fact that it was a man talking with another was somewhat of a awkward situation for her. Jesus said, "If you had asked of me, I would have given you water." But Jesus spoke of a certain kind of water. Now here's the question. What kind of water did Jesus said he could have given that Samaritan woman? Well, we'll look in just a moment in the Bible, and we'll read the answer, and then we'll get on with our Sunday school lesson about this event. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, the answer to the question, what kind of water? Well, we read in John chapter 4 and verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee," are you ready for the answer? "Living water." Now, when you think of living water, we're thinking of water that is ever flowing. A spring of water can be called living water compared to water maybe in a cistern that is stagnant and dead. And so the living water, Jesus asked, and it was a water which he said, by which she would never thirst again. Let's turn to Elam's notes, and I'm looking at Sunday school notes. He has written for the Sunday schools of January the 24th, 1923. And these notes begin discussing this water, the living water. "The greatest gift of God is Christ and salvation through him who gave his only begotten Son. Jesus was really thirsty, but in asking this favor, he sought an opportunity to confer a greater one. Living water is springing water, or running water. Perennial waters, we talk about perennial streams. Streams ever flowing, in contrast with cistern or standing water." Jesus used the term figuratively. In our devotional reading, it had a reference to water like this. But in Isaiah 12 and verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." God is the source of the wells of salvation. "For my people have committed two evils," Jeremiah said. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and then hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. To leave God in his ways is to turn away from the living water. Christ is the living water, as he is the bread from heaven, and the light of the world. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he who drinks of Christ will himself become a fountain to dispense of the living water to others, as he who walks in the light himself becomes a light to others. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, John 7:38-39. Filled with the Spirit on Pentecost, the disciples were rivers of living water to their hearers, and guided by the Spirit in having the Spirit of Christ. Christians bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, and thus they become living water to others. Like Nicodemus, in regard to being born again, the woman took Jesus literally. Yet she was impressed with what he said and wanted to know where he could get this living water. He could not draw it from that well because he had nothing to draw with. Then could he obtain it from some other source? Was he greater than Jacob who gave the well? In verses 13, 14, and 15 we read, Jesus answered and said unto her, Everyone that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all the way hither to draw. Christ shows her that he does not mean water of the well or water like that. To drink that is to thirst again. The water he gives satisfies, shall never thirst. Christ satisfies the thirst of the soul. Nothing earthly can do this. Christ fills it with wellsprings of joy, sweet peace, abiding contentment, permanent happiness. In a word, he fills the soul with heaven. The woman still mistook him, but she was still interested and thought that if she had that water, she would not have to go to the well again to draw. Well, Jesus convinces the woman that he is a prophet. We read in John 4:16-18. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come thither. The woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou saidest well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. This thou hast said truly. The woman said unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. To lead her to a knowledge of himself and to recall her life and convince her of her need of salvation, Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband. These words had the desired effect, and she confessed that she had no husband. Jesus replied, Thou hast had five husbands, and him who thou now hast is not thy husband. In verses 19-24 we read, The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Ye worship that ye know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Returning now to Elam's notes, The woman acknowledged Jesus to be a prophet. And since he was a prophet, she appealed to him to settle the question of the place of worship in the mountain of Samaria or at Jerusalem. You know, sometimes when people want to talk, the first thing they try to bring up when you try to talk religion is something controversial. And so here was a controversy between the Jews and the Samaritans, and her perceiving Jesus was a prophet thought, well, I'll bring up a controversy about worship. Well, some have said this woman ought to direct the attention of Jesus from her past life by raising the question of the proper place of worship, but that cannot be. She thought that Jesus, being a prophet, could tell her what is right, or at least she could get him to take a position, and then she could counter, and they could go back and forth. Well, Jesus was not in that kind of business where you just go around talking forever about controversy. And he lifted the subject above and greater than what the woman had thought he would do. He says in John 4 and verse 25, the woman, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, he that is called Christ. When he is come, he will declare unto us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus explained to her that she knew not what she worshipped, and that in this controversy the Jews were right. But under him, people must worship God in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so the woman acknowledged that when the Messiah should come, he should declare to the people all things. And here John again explained that Messiah is Christ. And this way Jesus led her to acknowledge him as the Messiah. No sacred place is now essential to acceptable worship. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in houses made with hands, as saith the prophet. The heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What manner of house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? Acts 7:48 through 50. Anywhere, everywhere, God may be worshipped under the reign of Christ. But the two important elements of worship are necessary: spirit and truth. One must be earnest, honest, sincere, and zealous. His whole entire man, his heart, and his spirit must be enlifted and engaged. He must serve God according to God's word. His word is truth, John 17:17. However earnest and zealous and sincere and honest one may be in doing the wrong thing, it does not make the wrong thing the right thing. One may do right in a formal, technical, heartless manner, having a form of godliness, while denying the power thereof, and even then not be acceptable worshiper of God. One may have zeal without knowledge, Romans 10:1-3, or knowledge without zeal. Both are necessary. This story of the woman at the well teaches us a lesson about leading others to Christ. These verses state this woman, notwithstanding her past sinful life, accepted Christ in faith and led many of her neighbors to him. He, being besought by her neighbors, remained there 2 days. Some believe that through this woman's word concerning Jesus, others believed because they heard him themselves. They were open and frank, and it seems that Jesus worked no miracles to convince them. They believed him without that. This teaches the church today the important lessons of seeking the salvation of the lost and what great results such efforts can have. This woman was not beyond the attention and love of Jesus, and such should not be ours now. In the rest of this chapter, and we'll study this in the next class, Jesus is going to be teaching his disciples some important things about doing the will of God. And we'll be discussing that in a future class time.